The Money in the Sacks. Joseph was scarcely once more alone with my Sakme after receiving and dismissing his train of notables, when, with still glowing face, rapt and exulting, he said, "My, did you hear? He still lives. Jacob is alive. He can still hear that I am alive and not dead. And Benjamin is a married man, with a host of children." "That was a bad slip you made, Adon, when you burst out laughing before it was repeated to you." "No matter. I patched it up all right. In such an exciting moment, one cannot think of everything. But aside from that, how was it? How did I do? Did I manage well? Did I adorn the God story properly? Did I give it some impressive detail?"
"You did it very well, Adon. Wonderful. Very pretty. It was a rewarding situation, too."
"Yes, rewarding.
But what is not rewarding is you. You take everything for granted. You only make big eyes. When I stood up and accused them, wasn't that pretty telling? I had led up to it, you could see it coming, but when it came, it was impressive. And when Big Reuben said, 'We recognize you in your greatness, but you, not us, in our innocence,' wasn't that silver and gold?"
"You had nothing to do with his saying it, Adon."
"But I had led up to it. And after all, the details of the feast are all my affair."
"No, my, you are ungrateful, and I cannot get at you, and you cannot be surprised. But now I will tell you something. I am not at all as satisfied as I seem, because I was stupid."
"How so, Adon? You did it charmingly."
"One important thing I did badly, and I saw it directly, but it was too late to alter it then. Keeping 9 of them as hostages and sending 1 back was clumsy. A much worse blunder than my laughing was. I must correct it. What should I do with 9 of them here, since I can do nothing to hasten the action of the God story until Benjamin is here, and I cannot even see them, since they are forbidden my countenance until they set him before me? That was badly botched. Are they just to sit here in pawn, while at home there is no food, and my father has no bread for the offering? No, it must be arranged just the other way. One stops on here as guarantee, one by whom the father sets least store, say, 1 of the twins. Just between ourselves, they were the ones who behaved the most savagely when they all fell upon me. The rest shall go and take home the needful for their hunger, for which they must pay, of course. If I gave it to them, it would look too suspicious. I do not for a moment think they would leave the hostage to his fate and confess themselves guilty to the charge by sacrificing him and not coming back with the little one.
But that may take a long time, my dear lord. My mind misgives me lest your father refuse to let the little married man go until the bread is all gone and the lamp again threatens to go out. You are taking a long time for your tale.
Well, yes, my. And why should not such a God story take time, and we not patiently work on its careful embellishment? If it is a whole year before they come back with Benjamin, it will not be too long for me. What is a year, anyhow, in this story? After all, I have taken you into it expressly because you are patience itself, and can lend me some when I get fidgety.
With pleasure, Adon. It is an honor to be present in it. I can see ahead and guess some of the things you will do to give it form. I think you mean to have them pay for the food you give them to take with them, but secretly, before they leave, you will have the money put in the top of their sacks, so that they will find it at their first stage. That will give them something to puzzle over. Joseph looked at him big-eyed.
My, said he, that is capital. That is silver and gold. You remind me of a detail I should probably have come on by myself, because of course it belongs to the story, yet I might have overlooked it. I should never have thought that one who could not be astonished could think up anything so astonishing as that.
I should not be astonished, my lord, but they will be.
Yes, they will. They will be bewildered, and they will guess, but not yet know what they guess. And they will feel they are dealing with a man who means well by them and plays tricks on them. I leave it to you to arrange. It is as good as set down in the tale. I charge you to slip the money into the fodder bags, so that everyone finds his own as soon as they feed. Aside from the hostage, they will feel even more bound to come back. And now, till day after tomorrow.
We must just wait till then, and then I will tell them the new arrangement. But what are a year and a day in a tale like this?" So on the third day, the brothers stood again in the hall of audience before the chair of Joseph the Provider. Or rather, they lay, they pressed their foreheads to the pavement. They rose halfway, lifting their arms, palms upwards. Then they fell down again, murmuring in chorus, "You are as Pharaoh. Your servants are without guilt before you." "Yes, yes, you think you can get round me with bendings and bowings, but you are just a sheaf of hollow ears. Interpreter, tell them what I said, that they have ears, but they hear not. And by hollow I mean hypocritical, dishonest. But you cannot pull the wool over the ears of a man like me with shows of that kind. My suspicions are not to be put to sleep by your bobbing up and down. So long as you have not brought up the evidence and set it here before me, I mean your youngest brother you talk about, just so long you are rascals in my eyes, and fear not God. But I fear him, therefore I will tell you how it is ordained. I do not want your children to suffer hunger, or your old father to sleep in the dark. You will be given provision according to your numbers, at the price fixed by the market. Even you could not imagine that I would give you bread, because you are this or that, all sons of one man, and 12 of you in all. That is no reason why a man like me should not deal with you in a business-like way, especially when I am in all probability dealing with spies. You shall receive for 10 families, if you can pay for it. But I will let only 9 of you carry it home. One of you must remain as hostage, and be held here until you get back, and wash yourselves clean by setting all 11 of you before me, who once were 12. And the pawn shall be the one on whom my eye first lights. In other words, he." And he pointed with his fan to Simeon, who looked defiantly straight ahead, as though it did not concern him at all. They laid him in bonds. While the soldiers put them on, the brothers pressed round and spoke to him. Then it was they came back to what they had already said in private, speaking what was not meant for Joseph's ears. But he heard and understood it. "Simeon," they said, "courage, man. So it is to be you. He has picked you out. Bear it like the man you are, a stout man and brave, a Lamech. We will do everything to get back and set you free. But you need not fear. It will not be too bad in the meantime, not anything beyond your considerable powers to endure. The man is only half hostile. He is half friendly, too. He will not send you to the mines unconvicted. Remember, he sent us roast goose into our prison. He is perfectly unaccountable, but he is by no means a bad sort. Maybe you will not be kept in bonds all that time, but if you are, even that is better than washing gold. We do pity you, but the lot has fallen upon you by the man's whim, so what can you do? It might have been any one of us, and indeed it is all of us, God knows. But at least you do get out of one thing. You do not have to stand before Jacob and tell him we have left one of us in pawn and have to take back the youngest born with us. The whole thing is a calamity, an affliction sent upon us by avenging powers. For remember what Judah said when he spoke to us all from the depths of his heart, and reminded us how our brother cried to us out of the depths of the well, and we were deaf to his weeping when he pleaded with us for our father's sake, that he might not fall on his back. And you cannot deny that you too, you and Levi, were the most savage of all in your treatment of him." And Reuben added, "Courage, twin, your children shall have what to eat. All this has come upon us because none of you would listen when I warned you and said, 'Do not lay hands on the boy.' But no, you would not be checked. And when I came back to the pit, the boy was gone. Now God is asking us, 'Where is your brother Abel?'" Joseph heard it. His nose began to prickle inside. He sniffed a little, and his eyes all at once ran over, so that he had to turn round as he sat, and my sakme had to thump him on the back. It did not help him at once. Even when he turned round, he was blinking his eyes, and his speech was halting and thick. "I will not," said he, "charge you the highest price which the market permits. You shall not be able to say that Pharaoh's friend exploited you when you came to the father of the famine. What you can carry and your sacks can hold will be given. I assign it to you. I am granting you wheat and barley. I recommend you the kind that comes from Uto, the land of the serpent. It is the best sort. What I further advise is that you use the corn for bread and not risk much on the sowing. The drought may continue. In fact, it certainly will, and the seed would be wasted. Farewell. I bid you farewell like honest people, for after all you are not yet convicted, however sorely suspect, and in case you set the 11th brother before me, I will believe you and not take you for monsters of the prime, but 11 sacred signs of the zodiac. Yet where is your 12th sign? It is hidden by the sun. Shall it be so, men? Good luck on the journey. You are a strange, riddling folk. Take heedful way now that ye go, and very heedful when you come back. For now, only necessity is your guide, and that is hard enough. But when you return, you will be bringing your youngest. The God of your fathers be your shield and buckler. And forget not Egypt, where Usir was lured into the chest and mangled, but became the first in the kingdom of the dead, and lighted the under-earthly sheepfold. So then he broke off the audience and rose from his seat beneath the feather fans. The brothers received their vouchers in an office in the building whither they were led, and the price was fixed by bushel and measure and load, and their animals and beasts of burden were fetched from the courtyard, and the purchase price was weighed out to the sworn officers presiding over the scales. From each of them, 10 silver rings. So there was a just balance between rings and weights, and the wheat and the barley poured forth out of the bins and filled their sacks to bursting. Great double sacks they were, bulging out over the flanks of the heavy-laden beasts. The fodder sacks, however, were hung on the riding animals in front of the saddles. Now they would have set off to lose no time, but get a good piece from Menphe towards the frontier on their first day. But the officials first spread them a meal for their strengthening, while the caravan waited in the court. Beer soup with raisins, and legs of mutton. Likewise they were given food for the first days of the journey, packed in gay packages to keep it fresh. That was the custom, they were told. The provisions were included in the purchase price, for this was Egypt, the land of the gods, a land that could well afford to be generous. It was Maisakme, steward of the Lord's house, who said this to them. He had supervised all these arrangements with the greatest care, lifting his heavy black brows above his round brown eyes. They very much liked him and his easy ways, especially when he comforted them about Simeon, and said that he thought his lot would be fairly tolerable. The business of putting him in bonds had been mostly symbolic, and would probably not last. Only if they decamped and left him in the lurch and did not come back with the youngest born by a year from now at the latest, then, of course, he, Mai, would answer for nothing. For his master, well, of course, he was a potentate. Friendly, yes, certainly, very pleasant. But, on the other hand, quite relentless once he had got a thing into his head. He thought it quite possible things would go very hard with Simeon if they did not follow out what his master had said. Then there would be two gone instead of one, which surely would not please the old man, their father, any better. Oh, no, they said, and they would do all they could. But it was hard to live between two fires, spoken in all honor, of course, so far as his master was concerned, for he was Tom, a man of the solstice, and had something godlike in his goodness and his awfulness. That you may well say, he responded. Have you had enough? Then good journey to you. And remember my words. So then they pulled out from the city, silent at first, for they were depressed about Simeon, and also about the problem of bringing home to the father that they had forfeited him, and breaking to him the only way there was to redeem the forfeit. But it was a long way yet to the father, and they talked among themselves too after a while. They said how much they liked the Egyptian beer soup, and how indeed trouble had overtaken them. But yet they had had easy bargaining and come out well. After all, the father ought to be pleased at that. They spoke of the stocky steward, and what a pleasant, composed man he was. Not Tom, but quite simply friendly and without any sharp corners. but who knew how he would have behaved if he had been not just an eldest servant, but the master and keeper of the market? Simple people are less tempted. They can easily be kind-hearted, whereas greatness without bounds inevitably made people capricious and unaccountable. The All-Highest himself was an instance. Often he was hard to understand with his uncanny ways. Anyhow, the Moschel had been almost entirely friendly today, up to the point where he had put Simeon in bonds. He had given them good advice, blessed them, and almost solemnly compared them with the signs of the zodiac, of which one was hidden. Probably he was an astrologer, besides being a reader and interpreter of signs. Indeed, he had let fall a hint that he was not without higher means of increasing his own perceptions. It would not surprise them to hear that he could read the stars. But if the stars had told him this about the brothers being spies, then it was sheer nonsense he read in them.